We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a sign spotted outside Chislehurst Active Age Centre, read by Charlotte Green.
Clip It Toenail Cutting Clinic. Come for lunch and see what else you can enjoy.
And our thanks to Chrissy Rogers for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Susan Kalman and Will Smith. And opposite them on my left, Matthew Paris and Jeremy Hardy. Susan, who has the right to make everybody else remain silent?
This is about the super injunctions. Yeah. Yes, there's been a couple recently, and it really is, if you're rich enough, you can stop people talking about the specifics of what you've done. Interestingly, in one of the cases, a footballer got one of these injunctions, but they were allowed to name the woman involved.
Right.
Because she didn't have the money to be involved in the court case. But if you read the papers, and I love it because I read the National Enquirer the other day, someone left it in my house, and they've always got, I think, kind of super snoops, and it says, which celebrity television presenter was caught naked in a bathroom with an armadillo? And I go, oh, I don't know, well, let me work it out.
We know it's a well-known TV personality who's married, but we don't know who it is, which means it could be anybody. So all well-known TV personalities who are married are under suspicion. So I think that the papers should publish the names of all the people who aren't that person. Just so as they're in the clear.
Because otherwise it becomes like a giant game of guess who. It really is. They should say, XY does not have glasses, and you can just sit. With all of the Radio Times going, well, it's not him, quite clearly.
I don't see how you could enforce a worldwide ban on naming somebody. I mean, I can't see North Korea joining in with us on this.
Would they care?
Well, obviously, everybody likes saucy details. Though, do you know, I don't like all saucy details. Do you remember when David Meller had, I don't know...
I don't want to know. Yeah.
Yes.
Before you even go there...
Immediately, everybody feels slightly unwell, don't they?
It's quite interesting what you were saying about, like, it's just for the rich, because one of the partners, I can't remember his name, at Carter Ruck, who are a law firm that represent a lot of these celebrities who are getting the injunction, said, no, it's not just available for the rich, because you can get an injunction or a super injunction for kind of tens of thousands of pounds, so it would be available to other people. You know, literally everyone, from a city trader all the way down to a dentist. I mean, it's just...
But you have to wonder why we needed... I mean, we had injunctions. Surely that should have been... Super injunctions is like an injunction wearing a cloak and a pair of red pants.
The super injunction... Super injunction is where you can't even say there's an injunction.
Well, it's
it sounds so much more exciting than it is, though, doesn't it? It's like Clegmania.
Yeah, if just... we had...
That word's a disservice. There's going to be a generation of kids growing up who think that the Beatles were popular for about 6 months and then utterly loathed for the rest of the 60s.
Matthew is a big celebrity outer because it was Matthew, was it not, on Newsnight, who broke the news to the nation that there's a reason why Peter Mandelson has never married. Furore, and didn't Paxman have to go around in the middle of the night and deliver a handwritten letter of apology?
On a bicycle, I think, yes.
Rushing round to Mandelson's
house. He had to apologise to Peter Mandelson because he was outed. To whom was it a surprise?
This was the terrible mistake that I made. It really was a mistake. I didn't mean to out Peter Mandelson. I honestly thought everybody knew.
Everybody did know!
Shocking the news that the entire time they were presenting this morning, Richard and Judy were sleeping together.
Oh, that's even more revolting.
Well, we can't actually say any names about this story, but this week has seen a further glut of gagging orders, including one against the whole world. After a woman tried to sell intimate pictures of a television star, and another banning the naming of a Premiership footballer who's been having an affair with ex-Big Brother contestant Imogen Thomas, who we can name because we don't care about her. If you don't know who Imogen Thomas is, in November 2006, she was voted the sexiest woman in Wales, impressing the judges with her complete set of teeth. Up-to-date forklift truck license. 2 points to Susan. Will, who has been put under peer pressure due to overcrowding?
David Cameron, because he's gone a bit giddy with appointing the lords.
Good is a good word.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I invented it. He's appointed more lords than anyone ever before. Many of them Sith lords. No, it's very overcrowded, apparently, the House of Lords. It lacks the courteous atmosphere.
Apparently, there are horrendous queues for the gents, a kind of ghastly combination of incontinence and overcrowding.
Yeah. I liked some of the language about this. It said, it's left the Lords very bloated. And do you, the answer is friendly bacteria. Mm. That is...
It's because being a peer used to be hereditary, whereas now it's environmental, isn't it? But I think it's great when they say that the peers are created, because you always suspect that they're made in a laboratory. Offcuts of Anne Robinson.
Yeah. Kind of big hairy eyebrows stuck on.
Will you take a peerage when it's offered, Sandy?
Oh, well, obviously, Dane Sandy Toksvig, I think, is the... it's easier
you
to
said
get into...
Dane Sandy Toksvig.
Did you see what I did there? But it's not difficult now, Matthew, is it? I mean, it's easier to get into...
Lose your seat. That's
you notice Sandy hasn't answered the question.
Would you, Matthew? Would you take it?
No.
Why not?
Mister was good enough for my father. It's good enough for me.
It's quite funny to be Lord Paris of London. It's like, my favourite was always Lord Salmon of Sandwich, which I just...
It's a peculiarly English thing. You just, if you're friendly with David Cameron, you can be Duke or Earl or something. I mean, in America, you have to be a respected jazz musician to get... But it's weird, because all the language they use is exactly the language that he uses about migration. It's, well, the trouble is, you see, these people are quite older. They're not used to a huge influx of strangers.
New people, they don't know the rules.
They don't know the rules.
They don't know how things are done here.
And they don't speak the language. They don't speak the language of...
They need to get it down to 750. That's a manageable number of peers. I just think, well, they've got to get rid of about 45 of them. And I think as part of the referendum, they should have a choice as to how we should get rid of those peers. I think a knockout would be a cracking way to start. Yeah. Or maybe that total wipeout programme. Yeah. Jump, Baroness, jump. Yeah. You can do better than that.
You'd have thought last winter would have seen a fair few off, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
A really good winter goes through the House of Lords like a knife through butter.
Yeah.
Just leave a trail of Werther's originals leading out onto the terrace, and by the time they get to the end of it, they've just frozen like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Do you know, can I just... Sorry, this is completely off topic, but I love a Werther's original, and I... No, this is important, and because of that advertising campaign with that creepy grandfather giving it to the grandchild on the train, now when I go in, I like a bag of Werther's originals.
We
know
nice your sort, yeah.
They're nice to share, and I offered someone a Werther's original the other day, and they're like, oh, pervert, and I was like, it's just a Werther's original. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's become like a pervert sweet, and actually, it's just quite tasty.
Can I just say that the description of Werther's original as a pervert sweet will probably not be broadcast?
That was their advertising campaign.
When I offer sweets to children on the bus, it's just with good intention.
Sorry, can we just rewind a bit?
This is like a debate at the House of Lords, isn't it? We started on something quite serious, and now we're on offering sweets to children on buses. After creating a record 117 new peers in under a year, David Cameron has been told that the House of Lords is full, and he must... Do you think there's a sign? And he must stop creating more members. The report suggests that there should be no more new peers until the level drops below 750. There are hopes that the NHS reforms should help with speeding that up. With nearly 800 members in the Lords, it's starting to slow down the progression of bills. Well, I think that's unfair. As you get older, motions are bound to take a bit longer. But you're often up all night, aren't you, trying? Nothing happens. As for an early day motion in your dreams. So, 2 points to Will. Matthew, who's struggling to get a reference for their new job application?
Yes, well, this is Gordon Brown. Oh. There's a rumour that they're looking for a head of the International Monetary Fund. Gordon Brown's name has been mentioned among them. Americans have a thing about monsters from Scotland, throwbacks to a primeval world, and I think that's probably the attraction of Gordon Brown.
Gordon Brown for head of IMF. I mean, that's like making Tony Blair a Middle East peace envoy or something, isn't it?
Well, he's he's one of those people, Sandy, enormously talented, so much to give, but you just don't want to let them anywhere near money. It always goes wrong with money. On the radio the other day, David Cameron as good as made it clear that he would veto the appointment of Gordon Brown.
Would he be so bad?
I mean, this is the man who had no idea we were in trouble, even though his best friend was called Prudence.
Knew.
Well, yeah,
he was just doing a double bluff. I know it, but I'm not saying it.
Is that a Scottish thing?
Aye. It's like that. But it's just that whole being cool on the outside. That's what he was. Do you know what I mean? He was like the Fonz.
Wasn't even Richie Cunningham.
Hey.
Well, there were outside factors, weren't there? Am I alone in this? Well, I mean, it's referred to as the global financial crisis, not the Brown financial crisis.
I know, but if you're in charge, is it not a good idea to see it coming?
Well, you know, I mean, the bankers are supposed to be partly at fault. And I don't remember David Cameron saying that Bob Diamond, who has a face made for punching, should be in charge of Barclays. So I just think Cameron's playing a dangerous game there because at the end of his premiership, you know, I would say it might be appropriate for him to, I don't know, maybe be kind of number two at a kind of home county's Jaguar showroom.
But the IMF is a horrible organisation. It's got all this money and its job is bailing out poor countries, and it refuses to do that until they privatise everything and sack all their workers. It's a horrible thing, the IMF. But they're like one of those people that phone you up and say, would you like to consolidate all your debts into one easily endurable monthly beating?
Susan, have you been ringing Jeremy? Yeah.
Gordon and I take it in turns.
Gordon Brown is emerging as the favourite to become the next managing director of the International Monetary Fund, although David Cameron and George Osborne have already suggested they may block him from taking the role. David Cameron said he thought it was time for a candidate to come not from the West, but from the developing world, before thoughtfully adding, although I suppose he does come from Scotland. 2 points to Lord Paris. Jeremy, where has the cost of higher education just got much, much higher?
Well, the Coalition came up with this weird plan for tuition fees and said, well, don't worry, because no one's really going to charge 9,000. We just said that for love. No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And anyway, nobody will have to pay it back because nobody will have any money. So you'll never have to pay it back. So just forget it. Just go to university, rack up bills of 40 or 50 grand and don't worry about it. And sure enough, all of the universities are charging top whack. Because the thing is, you can't really bring the costs down. It's not like you can get degrees made by children in Far Eastern sweatshops. You know, it all costs the same. And you can't very well say, well, we've been keeping our costs down by hiring rubbish lecturers who don't know anything. And the fact is that the kids are going to go to university and then have all this debt, which will hang over them, and if they earn more than a pittance, they will have to pay back. And the thing is, you're going to forget all this stuff. You're paying 50 grand for a load of stuff that you will forget over the years. And I think the debt should just disappear as you progressively forget all of the things that you learn. You should be tested once a year, and it should work like that. I wonder, because Matthew has been an MP, do they? I mean, because you sort of wonder about the Conservatives, whether they have this sort of sinister agenda to make the world a horrible place, or if they are just making it up as they go along. And I think they're just winging it. I don't think... Do they actually believe anything at all?
Yes, yeah. I mean, to provide a university degree, there's a cost attached to it, and you charge the cost. Well, you don't, actually. You get the loan and pay it back from your enhanced earnings for the rest of your life. It seems absolutely fine to me.
Yeah, but Matthew, they said that the £9,000 was only going to be charged by people like Oxford and Cambridge.
Yeah.
It's going to be £8,500 to go to Teesside University.
Well, I think there's been a bit of confusion there. I think they're trying to sell the whole university for £8,500.
Well, they've said that they want to charge more because it's a status thing, that they don't want to look like a second-rate university. But I think if they're that worried about status, then they should just spend money changing their name to the Oxbridge University of the North or Hogwarts.
I'm going to wait to see whether some of these universities get what they're asking. Derby University is offering a course in dance and accountancy.
Suggest that things happen in places other than England, but in Scotland.
Where is this land of which ye speak?
It only appears once every 100 years.
You can't find it.
Next to Narnia, yes.
Yes, exactly. You don't get charged £9,000 tuition fees. We managed to maintain perhaps one of the best education systems in the world without bankrupting our young people.
And with our English money.
Pardon? I never thought I'd ever punch Matthew Paris in the face. I suggested something about English money when we have our own economy. With oil, just mentioning.
It's God's oil.
It's God's oil.
God made that oil.
God was English. God.
He's going to end up today just shouting, freedom, and just going for it.
But the third point is education should be free. And if you start charging for universities, well, why not charge for primary schools? And basically, they're trying to steer kids away from carrying on at school anyway, because they want to put them into apprenticeships at 15. And they say, oh, well, the trouble is, you'll see, a lot of these young kids, you'll see, I mean, really, they're better suited to sorting out my bathroom, frankly. Basically, the whole of the upper middle class has knocked through in the last couple of years and realised there's a terrible shortage of tradespeople. So they want to sort of steer the children of the poor away from Hamlet and into Grouting.
Nearly three quarters of universities have opted to charge the maximum £9,000 tuition fees for some of their degree courses. The rise in prices is said to be putting middle-class people off going to university, leaving the country worryingly short of PR assistants and juice shop owners. Let me say, if anybody in Teesside was upset that we made any jokes about the price, which is £8,500 a year, I'd just remind everybody that does include a whole row of terrace houses, so I'm sorry. At the end of round one, the scores are exactly equal. Susan and Will have got 4 points, but so too have Matthew and Jeremy. We start round two with a report from the Walton Hill and District Gardeners Club.
It was a great pleasure to welcome back Carol Watson as our speaker in January. Andrew Huxley, the Nobel laureate, wrote, "People who enjoy wild flowers can become boring, and people who enjoy orchids can become very boring. Carol enjoys both." And she shared her enthusiasm with us.
For sending us that. Susan, why is it that when I phone, they follow?
That's very good.
Thank you.
iPhones, and I don't know why this is a surprise to anyone, because the point of an iPhone is it knows where you are and you can check in places. I don't know if you've seen, I've checked in at X, Y, and Z. So it follows you, it knows where you are, and if you then plug it into your laptop, the information about where you've been then goes onto your laptop. Now, apparently this is a big issue, because if someone got into your laptop, they'd find out what you were doing. Now, fundamentally, that kind of article is written by someone who has an interesting life. I tell you what, after the show, I'll come and have a look at my iPhone. Literally, you'll see me sitting on the sofa for 3 days. I don't do anything. There is a privacy issue, but if you have an iPhone, you know that that's what happens.
But also, presumably, you know where you've been.
Well, so, yes.
I don't think you'd be checking it. That's not for you.
No, but I don't want. Yeah. I don't need that. I need one that'll tell me why I came into the kitchen.
And you need one that tells you where it is when you can't find it as well.
Oh, I've got a thing. You've got a thing on my computer that tells me where my iPhone is if I lose it.
Really?
And it usually says it's somewhere in the house, you idiot.
What I do sometimes of an evening, absolutely true story, is when I go out of an evening and I've had a couple of shandies with the girls, I have been known to post my phone to myself. So I don't text someone.
Oh.
You know, because I tweet
texting
a lot. And I'm always worried, because when I get a little bit tipsy, I tend to get a little bit ballsy, a little bit, well, this is, I'm going to say that about, fight about everybody. And
but
then
you've got to plan ahead. I mean, do you carry a padded envelope?
I do. If I know that I'm up for a right good thwally with the girls, and they go, yes, let's go and have a white wine spritzer. And we go down to the docks and we have a white wine spritzer. Before I go and have this white wine spritzer, and if I've had a particularly bad day, I think I'll just post this little iPhone to myself.
That's a brilliant idea.
Why not just not take it with you?
Well,
is that crazy?
Well, because the thing
they're
is
useful.
It's yes.
You're sober. I mean, they are fantastic. They can they send email. You can play games. You can play music. In fact, the other day when somebody phoned, I got the shock of my life. They really are fantastic. The amount of things they can do.
What's the worst thing you've ever done drunk with a phone? Because I feel really tame. I've never done anything.
It involves surgery. She's not going to tell you.
Fine.
Owners of Apple iPhones are having their movements tracked and stored on a file in their phone. When you plug your phone into your laptop, the information is transferred so someone who pinches your laptop could use the file to find out where you live. Of course, if they break into your house to steal your laptop, they probably already know. Did you know there's a Sandy Toksvig app?
Is there?
Yeah, I think...
Did you do it?
No, I think Apple chose me because I can appear life-size on the screen. Points to Susan. Will, which celebrity cover-up are we actually allowed to talk about?
Oh, is this Nigella?
It is.
Who wore a burkini
in
Australia, thereby annoying the Daily Telegraph and the Daily Mail, who like to have photos of mature ladies in bikinis. She covered up because she doesn't want to get sunburned. Either that or she got drunk and had Iron Maiden album covers tattooed on her back. I don't know.
I don't get it. Nigella covers up on a beach and she gets all this press. I strip off at the Grand National, nothing. It was, there wasn't even a glance from a horse.
I'm meant to be going on holiday in June for the first time in about 15 years.
Has the ban been lifted?
Yeah.
And I'm going somewhere warm. I don't want to go.
Why are you going?
Why? Because if I don't, I'm getting chucked, essentially. Because apparently going on holiday to Bath is not sufficient for 8 years, right? Okay, it's a nice city. It's brilliant, right?
Are you happy in your relationship?
Yes. And I have to go and get a swimming costume. And it's a distressing thing to go and try and buy one of these things. The tankinis, which are meant to make you look thinner. They don't. A sheet would make me look thinner. I can understand. She wants to go to the beach. She's slightly fuller figured. She thinks, I know, I'll just cover up completely because you can't get one of those coaches to go down to the water's edge anymore. I think that would be a better thing. That's what I bloody want in Cyprus, a coach to take me down and all men banned from the beach because my figure would be too much for them. So it's difficult. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to wear...
So would you get a burkini?
A burkini?
Yeah.
I just think I would look like I was in a baby grow.
I don't think you would. I may be alone, but I think Nigella looks rather good in this thing. This is sort of clinging, wet fabric, and that there's a kind of sense of something substantial heaving underneath the...
Matthew, are you on the turn?
You wouldn't be allowed to wear them in France, though, would you? Because
in
France, you have to wear those little budgie smuggler things they're called,
aren't
they? Those tiny little bracelets.
Oh, no, they're obsessed with pudenda in France. Yeah. I tried to wear Bermuda shorts in a public bath in France. And they said, no, have you got any swimming trunks? I said, these are swimming trunks. These are what we wear in England in swimming pools.
They said,
no. We want to see the little tiny hot pants so we can see the line of your genitalia. It's very, very important. Because otherwise you might be some crazy Muslim. So we need to know. And they got some out of lost property that they found in a skip. And I had to put them on.
In an attempt to shield both her skin and her modesty, Nigella Lawson was photographed wearing a full covering bikini on Bondi Beach. Nigella
sounds like a non-alcoholic cocktail, doesn't it, a bikini?
Nigella apparently covered up for health reasons, although Australian experts did point out there are safer things to do than dress up like a seal and run into shark-infested waters. Nigella Lawson is famed for bringing a flirtatious sauciness back to British cooking, much as her father did for financial politics. So I once mixed up one of Nigella's books with her father's. I tried to privatise a souffle. Right. 2 points to Will. Jeremy, whose career has crashed and burned after an unauthorised broadcast left pilots up in the air?
Oh, is this the air traffic controllers in America?
Yeah.
Well, they're all sleeping all the time because they make them stay up all night and stuff and do quite long shifts. And so they're all knackered and they sit there and it's probably quite boring air traffic control. But one of them was watching a film, which I think is all right so long as it's a sort of disaster film involving planes that keeps you on your toes. I got a plane once and I put the music on and it was that someone was having a laugh because every track was Buddy Holly, Glenn Miller. The pilots should know how to land. I mean, when you're driving a car, you have to figure it out for yourself. Pilots, they get paid a fortune. They've got an automatic pilot. Half the time, they're doing nothing apart from making jocular, weird remarks. And they're all men, which is probably the mistake, because women can multitask. And so women could watch a DVD, bring up kids, do cooking, and land a plane successfully. They should have women pilots, because they'd be able to do their makeup. The trouble is, they'd get home and find they'd left the shopping on top of the plane.
On a very, very small plane in Alabama, and the pilot came on and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, there may be 50 ways to leave your lover, but there's only two ways off of this aircraft."
Story that fills me with absolute fear, because everyone always says when I say I haven't got a fear of flying, I'm petrified of it, and everyone goes, "Oh, it'll be absolutely fine, it's the safest form of transport in the world, you're more likely to die falling out of your bed." And I think I'd prefer to die falling out of my bed, because to be honest, I'd probably be eating Ferrero Rocher at the time. And
getting just such a wonderful picture of Susan's life.
She's been with us for some time. Trust me, you've just grazed over the surface.
She's been with us for some time. It's something like you'd say about a maid, isn't it?
Yes. Susan.
She's been with us for years. She's marvellous. Nobody
in
your family.
Yeah.
We called the last maid Susan as well. An air traffic controller in Ohio blocked out all radio communication between planes when he accidentally broadcast a DVD he was watching while he was supposed to be working. Despite the incident, the USA has the world's best safety record last year, with 0.1 jets lost per million flights. How do you lose 0.1 of a jet? 2 points to Jeremy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mrs. Kalman.
This has been sent in by Garth Wood. He'd bought a book called The Chicken Chronicles off a website, and this was a description of the contents. Growing up in the deep south of America, Alice soon became used to the reality of breeding children for their eggs and ultimately meat.
Mr. Smith.
This is sent in by Jennifer Crompton, and she says, "I bought the new David Garrett CD, Rock Symphonies. On the CD sleeve, there is a quote from David Garrett stating, 'My fans have been very adventurous and always enjoyed whichever erections I took.'"
Mr. Hardy.
It's from the Harrow Observer. "Motorists had to swerve to avoid an elderly hospital patient who was wandering alone on a busy dual carriageway late at night. Witness Artie Luca of Torva Road, Harrow, said he was quite close to a little traffic island and was walking along in the middle of the road. He was very pale and had white hair, and to be honest, I thought he was a bollard."
Score. Susan and Will have got 8 points, but this week's winners on charm alone, Matthew and Jeremy. Before we leave you, here is a promotional offer from the Daily Telegraph, sent to us by Kathleen Lloyd.
To pick up your free pack of luxury hot cross buns, take the voucher from your newspaper and present it at any till with your buns.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Susan Kalman, Will Smith, Matthew Paris and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair's script was written by Gareth Gwynne, John Hunter and Simon Littlefield, with additional material by Benjamin Partridge, Andy Walton and Celia Pacola. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Oh, hello, I'm Sandy Toksvig, and you join me once again. Well, if I'm honest, I'm perched on a stack of lever arch files in the stationery cupboard of the BBC comedy department. When they originally told me, you know, they wanted to record these things in the office, they said it would give a lovely, rich, behind-the-scenes kind of sound. But then it turned out that that was far too noisy. If I just open the door, have a listen.
"The lawyers say we can't even prove he's ever ridden a horse, let alone taken a horse."
That's the sort of thing. Anyway, some people who tune into Radio 4 Extra have a bit more time to listen to the radio than the average bet. Yeah?
Sorry, could I just get an envelope?
Do you want a white or buff?
Buff.
Buff.
No problem.
More time to listen to the radio than the average bear. Perhaps you're retired, a travelling salesman driving between appointments. Do they still have those? Or maybe, I don't know, you stood as a Labour candidate in the last general election. Whoever you are, we're here for you in the cupboard. Coming up later, I'm going to be speaking to everybody's favourite tiny Glaswegian, Susan Cowman, and Jeremy and I will once again be delving into the archives to see what was deemed newsworthy this week in the past. But before that, from the emails we receive, we've deduced that the most popular way to listen to the news quiz is by playing along question by question at home with family and friends. Everyone crowded around the radio set next to a roaring fire. Probably. If you've ever tried to keep up with our scoring system, you might have noticed that the numbers don't always add up, because sometimes we have to cut bits out of the show for reasons of time. Actually, it's mainly taste. Honestly, Jeremy is incorrigible. But here's a chance to hear a bit that we simply didn't have space for in this week's show. It is kind of weird, though, isn't it, to lump. What have we got? We've got drug addicts and alcoholics and the obese all together. I mean, if you think about it, for two of them, cold turkey is the cure, and for one of them, it's part of the problem.
If you're basically going to say anyone who is in any way contributing towards their infirmity by perhaps eating too much or being a bit cack-handed or they didn't look and were hit by a bus, then you are creating the undeserving poor again, aren't you?
Yes, but if you haven't got any legs, there's nothing you can do to get any legs. If you're overweight or drink too much, there is something you can do to get yourself out of that. I think that's the thinking. I don't
Yeah, but if you're drunk, you are legless, which is the same as not.
Do you know that the very first person ever to be done for drugs, she was an American swimmer, and she came over on a liner in the 30s to Europe to compete in the Olympics, and she was done for being drunk on champagne in her swimming event. I love her. I love her. She's one of my heroes. I think that is... I loathe sport of all kind, but perhaps with a glass of champagne in me. I think she was also shooting craps with the crew, which is not good.
Dear.
More than
is that more humane than hunting craps with dogs?
Apparently so.
That you can't do. And because I am short, there's...
You're not, darling. Don't let anyone ever tell you you're short.
Oh, Susan, you're short.
Yeah. Pots and kettles.
Yeah. The
helper.
Only contestant I've ever looked down on. And here's another extra bit that you won't have heard in the main show. Will, why might the Queen have to spend a lot of time in the Telegram office?
Because apparently one in four 16-year-olds will now live till they're 100. Mm. So I don't know what they're moaning about. Plenty of time to pay off those loans. I'm very jealous. In my head, my generation, it's 70. You know, it's going to be 40 this year. I'm already on the downslopes, and I think they're 16% through their life.
Is that how it works? It changes with, I'm 50, I'm going to die at 60. Is that where we...
I don't know...
Every year, life expectancy is extended by 44 years or something. Yes.
But why are we going to die younger? I don't understand
it's,
that.
Well, it's medical advancements, I think. And
There's a calculator online, Matthew, and it's called Calculate Your Chance to Live to 100. And I did it today, and honestly, I should be dead already.
I think it's horrific, the thought of living till 100. I've always in my head, I want to live till I'm old enough that I can go to the supermarket in my pyjamas with the cats in a pram.
Nothing's stopping you.
Yeah, but if you live to 100, there will be people celebrating their 80th wedding anniversary. What is that? That would be like boiled ham. What would there would even be? What would be the thing for it?
So I know now I'm going to live to 100. Does that mean I'm automatically going to suddenly start doing things that I wouldn't normally do, like wash on the weekend? It's not going to happen.
It's going to create a topographical nightmare, because as more and more people live in Worthing and Bournemouth, Britain will start to tip.
If we have an older population, then the media might finally start using older women on television.
Exactly.
More frequently. No, they already do it with men. I don't know what age David Dickinson is. Bronze, I think, probably. And here's another. Matthew, who's found that two's company, three's a crowd and a baby?
Oh, this is an idea of the three-parent child, where if there's some genetic deficiency with the two parents that you've got, you can get a little bit of DNA from a third person, and so the child is effectively created out of three people rather than two, and you can replace something that's missing. I mean, if we'd been able to do this 40 years ago, the Miliband brothers would have charisma, for instance.
It is extraordinary. It's a baby's basically made by two women and one man. I think I saw a video like this once.
There are a lot men thinking, this sounds great because a doctor will tell me I have to have sex with two women for medical reasons.
I've been offering Sandy some of my DNA for a very long time. That's it, my dear. Just rub it in, it'll absorb. Dirty cow.
You know how it is with the kids? You can never pick which one is your favourite. It's exactly like that for me with news quiz panellists. But how can I put this? If Susan Kalman was one of my children, she'd probably be the one getting new shoes every year. I caught up with her for a quick chat before this week's show.
I don't think that when you first came to the news quiz you knew quite how glamorous it was going to
no.
be. I wonder if, just for the benefit of the listener, you might describe my office to them.
It appears to be a storage area.
Yeah. There's a very big room next door. Who's next door in the very big room?
French and Saunders.
I know.
French and Saunders are next door.
Yeah.
They've got a cafetiere, did you see?
A cafetiere and a very big room with about eight chairs in it.
They've got biscuits as well.
Okay, do you remember your very first appearance on the news?
Oh, God, yes, I do.
So what was the difference between what you'd imagined it was going to be like and what it was actually like?
It was more of a conversation rather than, I've got a joke and I'm going to tell you that joke right now and then I'm going to sit back because...
Wait for the laughs to roll in.
Especially when you're on the team with Jeremy. He's such a foxy young lady, Jeremy. He's gone from being quite polite to me and then, remember, he punched me a few times.
Do you have a favourite moment from being on the show?
I think the first time I was on with the Buckfast, I think, must be one of the, my favourite.
Was that your very first show?
That was my first show.
And I got you drunk? Well, I got drunk.
You got drunk. I was fine. I didn't have any of
it. No, because you're Scots. Oh, you didn't have any?
I didn't have any. I'm not a fool.
Inured to it.
Yes. So I think that was wonderful.
Worst moment?
Worst moment.
Yeah. Sorry, is it my accent? Worst moment.
I don't think there has been one.
Who is your favourite panellist? Is there a range of panellists you enjoy sitting next to, or you've enjoyed sitting next to?
I loved doing the show with Joe Brand, with Jeremy, of course, my boyfriend, and I loved doing it when Sue Perkins is on as well. It's lovely when Sue's on.
It's sort of unusual, I think, to have more than one woman on a show. Sometimes we have three or four. What's your favourite story from the papers this week?
The Scottish election's on just now.
Really? Note to self, must cover Scottish news. Yeah, how's that going?
It's going great.
Right, what are we voting for?
voting for King of Scotland.
King of Scotland?
King of Scotland.
Oh, very good.
So the voting's
and Uganda, isn't that right?
Yes, not the two things. Scotland and Uganda. Yeah. It's twinned with Uganda.
Yeah. What else are you up to?
Down in London on the 6th of May doing a show at the Udderbelly.
Which I've done, which is a sort of upside-down inflatable cow.
Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a show there, an hour-long show. Then I just go back into my cupboard again until the news quiz starts again.
Daytime telly, obviously, you watch a lot.
Jeremy Kyle.
I don't know if we can finish on the words Jeremy Kyle, can we? Can I get a super injunction about that?
Yes, you can. You can, indeed.
Can I get out of my office?
For most people, nostalgia is an occasional comforting blanket of memories and reminiscences, but for some of us, well, it's all we have left. So earlier today, Jeremy and I did what we do most weekends and had a listen to some old news quiz shows from this week in the past.
Right, Jeremy, the first clip is from 1997. Right. Simon Hoggart is in the chair and we were both on the panel alongside Alan Corrin and Francis Wheen.
OK.
Alan, which book proved too spicy for young palates?
Yes, Mrs. W.H. Smith, that doughty campaigning publisher and distributor of everything except things which might not sell. And they were very worried that the Spice Girls have written a book. W.H. Smith have decided that there's a lot of four-letter words in it and decided that children shouldn't have these. So they've withdrawn the book from sale, not to everyone, just to children under 12, something like that. The Spice Girls, I don't know, but they did a lot of things this week which seemed to me to be meaningless. They sang without miming. I didn't know that this mattered or was important news. And the whole of the Church of England was asked whether it had heard of them. And the Bishop of Rochester had heard of all five. Why was it news that the Bishop of Rochester knew the names of all five Spice Girls? And
John
the fact
Major
that John Major knew only two.
And Blair knew three.
Blair knew three.
Tells you everything you need to know.
It is a major electoral platform, isn't it?
I suppose the relevance to the Church of England is that if a bishop knows the names of all five Spice Girls, it proves that at least one of them is heterosexual. Not the Spice Girls, one of the Church of England.
Yes, nobody's asked the Spice Girls if they can name the General Synod of the Church of England.
1997, that means this week, 14 years ago, we were doing exactly the same as we're doing this week.
Is that before or after the election, that one?
Where are we? It's April.
29th. Before the election.
Before the election.
Before the election.
We really believed things were going to get better.
Yeah.
Sweet. The innocence of youth.
I remember that morning. We all got terribly drunk. Me and Hoggart and Mark Steele after the election, because we had a daytime record. But Hattersley was in a funk. Roy Hattersley was on, and he knew what was to come. We were all just being young and naive. Those were glory days. When you used to be a panellist, you see poacher turned gamekeeper. You were funny in those
days. I know, and look what happened to me now.
You've just become this turgid old hag.
I'm a member of the establishment.
Exactly,
now.
Yeah. Sold out.
Yeah, sit up properly.
Adverts for Iceland alongside Kerry Katona and General Pinochet.
I don't even know who she is. I know who he is. Oh, it's a youngster. This next clip is only 11 years ago. 2000. It's you, Mr. Ween, Tony Hawk's not the one on the skateboard, and Roy, I'm sometimes a bit grumpy.
Roy, whose ideas about lawnmowers should be put out to grass?
Oh, whose ideas? I don't know.
Right, so...
Do you know?
Some psychologist somewhere has said how you mow your lawn says what kind of a person you are, and specifically what kind of a lover you are. And if you mow it very, very neatly... I think I can't remember all the what,
there are about five different including. Types.
Yeah, I mean, I just looked at my type and thought they're absolutely right. and all the people are going to be copying the way my lawn is now, I tell you.
There's some very worrying implications about relating lawn mowing to the sort of lover you are. I mean, for instance, in Switzerland, you're not allowed to mow your lawn after 10 o'clock at night. I mean, what implications does that?
Yet you can have sex till 11:30.
That's right. as long as you don't run your bath afterwards, because you're not allowed to run your bath until midnight.
It's all to very do complicated. With the stripes, and if you're a straight up and down the wicket sort of a person, or going round the edges sort of person, or if you use a hovering technique.
What about being motorised? That's infinite possibilities.
Prince Andrew used that hovering technique on Fergie because he had that big chopper, didn't he?
Have you got a lawn, Simon?
Yes.
How do you mow your lawn?
My wife mows it.
It's absolutely true. I'm so ashamed.
A behavioural psychologist claims that how you mow the lawn reveals the secrets of your love life. According to the survey, obsessively neat mowers have poor love lives, weekend mowers are predictable, and men who mow the lawn naked are uninhibited. Men who refuse to admit they're going bald let their lawns grow very long, then rake it over the patio and hope no one knows.
You couldn't resist, could you, with the chopper, the big chopper thing?
I know, I'm surprised that went out, because you could take that two ways.
Oh, alas, that's it for another week. All good things must come to an end. And all other things as well. Thank you to all my guests, and to conclude, here is a bonus cutting from 1997, read by the voice of a nation, Charlotte Green.
A naked man stunned staff and customers by robbing a bank in Miami, Florida. A female cashier who got a good look was unable to describe his face. The News Quiz Extra was presented by Sandy Toksvig and featured Jeremy Hardy, Susan Kalman, Matthew Paris and Will Smith. It was written by Benjamin Partridge, and the producer was Lindsay Fenner.